Let's read together Psalm 122. There's a collection of psalms called the Songs of Ascent, which the Israelites sang as they walked from their homes many miles to the city of Jerusalem and went up the hill to the temple. And so they ascended, and then they're called the Songs of Ascent. There are 15 of them from 120 to 134. And we're going to read the third of the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 122, page 612 in your pew Bibles. A Song of Ascent of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. This is God's word, and may he bless it to our hearts and lives and build our faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, do you love God? Then you will love his church, because the church is his household. Do you love Jesus? Then you will love his church, because the church is Jesus' bride. I have one more question. Do you love the Holy Spirit? Then you will love the church, because the Holy Spirit lives in the church at his temple. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you love God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you will love his church. You will love her ministry, her salvation, her order, her people, and her future. You will love her, even though during this time the bride of Christ has all kinds of problems. You will love her. You will love the church, because Jesus lives in her. You'll miss her when you can't join her for worship. Maybe you've been in the hospital. Maybe a virus shuts things down. You'll miss her when you can't gather. And you'll rejoice when you can join the thronging worshipers to praise the Lord together. And some of us get a taste of that this morning here, but across our province as well, across our nation, and even in many places across the world. And may that extra blessing of gathering together be used by God to build this church, but also to destroy Satan, who loves to play games with us when we can't gather. May this destroy his kingdom. Well, we want to see Psalm 122 under the theme, I love your church, O Lord. I love your church, O Lord. The joy of going. The praise of belonging, secondly, and thirdly, the importance of praying for her. The joy of going to church, to the assembly of the church. The praise of belonging and the importance of praying for her. First, the joy of going. Look back at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 122. You have your Bibles open. Look at verses 1 and 2. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go." The joy of going. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. This is about Israel going to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Three times a year, they were commanded to put down their tools, put down their gadgets, put down their work. Of course, a few had to stay behind to take care of things, but put down their work and wherever they lived, whatever tribe they were from, to leave their homes and make the pilgrim journey to Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. Three times a year, families would come from all over to worship God. But notice it doesn't start with Jerusalem. It begins, starts, and ends with the house of the Lord. First verse. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And you'll notice it ends there. Verse 9. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The house of the Lord is the beginning and the end. That's the key. Jerusalem is in the middle. The city is in the middle. The city is important because the house of the Lord is important. Put that in New Testament terms. The house of the Lord, the temple, is now Jesus, the flesh temple. The city of Jerusalem is the church. Just as Jerusalem was important because the temple was important. That's where God lived. That's where his presence was. So the church is important because that's where Jesus lives. That's where the temple Jesus is. It's his city. We're his city. We're his body. That's the only reason Jerusalem was important. The house of the Lord was there. We love to go to church. We love it when we as saints can gather for worship because Jesus is there. He's there in his word. He's there in the sacrament. He's there by his spirit. He's lifted up in the praises of his people. And so that's why Israel loved to go to Jerusalem, because the house of the Lord was there. That wasn't such a beautiful city. Not at all. What made it beautiful is the temple was there. God put his name in that temple. Remember in the most holy place, the Ark of the Covenant was there. And God came down with his glory. He put his name there. That was his throne. And from there, the blood of the sacrifices was spilled and was put on the ark, and God came out with forgiveness. That was the place of God's power and God's love. That was his presence. That's where his goodness was to be found. You see that in Psalm 65. Let me read the first few verses of Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. When iniquities prevailed against me, you atoned for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to live with you in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. The goodness of your house, atonement, forgiveness, blessing from God. So those who loved God and loved his church would be filled with joy when it came time for the trip to go again to Jerusalem. You can imagine, because they went up in groups of neighbors and families, right? From their village, their towns. Can you imagine the neighbor coming over and saying, next week, it's time to go to Jerusalem. It's time for the feast. What shall we bring along? Who's going to go in our group? And as soon as the neighbor heard that, let's go to the house of the Lord. They're glad. Yes, it's that time again. And they were all excited. The moms, the dads, the kids. Sometimes even the children went along to get ready to go to the temple. And to ascend, because Jerusalem was built on a hill. And the temple was located on the peaks of one of those hills of Jerusalem, Mount Zion. And as you read through the Psalms of Ascent, you see progress. Psalm 120 starts with a believer in exile. I'm in the tents of Meshach. I'm far away from Israel. Oh, I need to go to Jerusalem. Psalm 121. Now they leave their homes and they're on their way. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, to the hills of Jerusalem. They're on their way. Psalm 122, they're not at the temple yet, but they've stepped into the city through the gates. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. The excitement of passing through the gates, entering into the city, and in the distance, after Solomon's temple was built, being able to see the beauty of the outlines of the pinnacle of the temple. And to know God was there waiting to be gracious to you. Wow. and you are coming to commune with God. They must have thought as they entered that city, why are we here? Why do we get to have this? There's nations all over the world, and we're the only ones that get to go to the true house of the Lord and stand in the gates of God's church, God's city. Well, brothers and sisters, I trust you know the joy of going to God's house. And we can be thankful that God interrupted that for a little while, as painful as it was, because we were taking it for granted. We were thinking, oh, just church again. It'll be here next week for us. I got a sore finger. I'm going to stay home and sleep. Or whatever. We were taking it for granted. And the Lord shut us down for a bit to renew in us the desire to go to the house of the Lord, to go to the place where Jesus is in a powerful way present with his people in the Word and the sacrament through his Holy Spirit. And may God keep that joy in us and keep it growing so we don't get slack, so we don't get cold in our love. May he keep it growing. May he keep it going. There's only one way that you can have any joy in going to church. It's like the pilgrim. There's only one way they could have joy in going to Jerusalem, and that they knew Jesus was in the temple. When Jesus is your joy, God's presence in the temple is your joy, going to Zion, going to Jerusalem, going to the city, going to the church becomes a joyful thing. But if you don't know Jesus, there's no excitement in going to church at all. Just another group of people chatting it up. I can do that anywhere. But when it's about Jesus, when the house of the Lord stands at the center of the city of the Lord, like this psalm proclaims, there's joy in going. And secondly, praise in belonging. You notice how the ESV helpfully sets off verses 3-5. Because this part is about standing inside Jerusalem and thinking, I belong here. This is my city. Because I'm an Israelite. I'm a child of God. This is my city. And so the psalmist begins to talk excitedly, to describe the beauty of Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, designed by God. He's in the gates. He sees the sights. He smells the smells. And he thinks about what this city means in God's plan of redemption. Again, verses 3, 4, and 5. Jerusalem built as a city that's bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. What was so exciting about Jerusalem? Physically, geographically, politically, economically, Jerusalem wasn't impressive at all. It wasn't on a mountain. It was on a little hill. Still is. The city's walls weren't impressive. Oh, the city reached some fame in Solomon's day, but it always lived in the shadow of Syria and Philistia and Tyre and Sidon and Babylon and Egypt. It was always just the little kid on the block, as far as nations goes. There wasn't much to it. So what's so exciting about this city, Jerusalem? Spiritually, there was nothing like it anywhere else in the world. There's only one city that contained these two things, the house of the Lord and the throne of David. You see that in verses 4 and 5. No other city in the world contained the house of God and the throne of Messiah, the anointed king, David.
The city is important. Belonging to it is important because the house of the Lord was there. If you lived in Babylon or in Spain or China and you wanted the forgiveness of sins, if you wanted to be right with God, there's no place where you could become right with God. There's no place where you could find forgiveness of sins other than here. Here is where the blood of the Lamb was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Here is where God in the Day of Atonement reached out and blessed His people with forgiveness and gave them eternal life. There's no other place in all the world where you could find that. It's kind of like the church today. She's not that impressive. There's a lot more powerful, a lot more power in a lot of other places than the church. But there's only one place where you can meet God. It's only one place where you can meet Jesus Christ. It's only one place where you can find forgiveness. And that's through the ministry of the church, which has been given the gospel to proclaim. And that's why it's far more important than any other city, any other place, any other organization or institution anywhere in the world. The church, which is now not local Jerusalem in Israel, but the new Jerusalem, which Jesus took up to heaven and now is found in congregations gathered all over the world. That's the one thing that made it so spiritually important. The house of the Lord was there. Secondly, the throne of David was there. If you lived in Assyria or Ethiopia or India and you wanted the law of true justice and mercy, you wanted the perfect law. There was no place anywhere in all the world to find it other than in the law of God in Jerusalem, at the throne of David. Only on that throne was there an anointed one who knew the law of God and could administer true justice with mercy. It's the only place. Only there could you meet God in His greatness and holiness, in His mercy and love. The God who's pure and at the same time good and ready to forgive all those who call on Him. The house of the Lord where the Lamb was slaughtered so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be right with God and have life. The throne of Christ, that's who the throne of David is, really the throne of Jesus, who now is reigning from heaven, who intercedes for the saints, helps us in our temptation, fills us with the Spirit to conquer sin and to walk in God's ways. You can't find that anywhere but in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is worthy of our worship. His city is worthy of your love. Because it's an unusual city. It's a unique city, the church. Because God lives there. Salvation is found there. Righteousness is found there. Truth is found there. And so we read of Jerusalem, verse 4, the city to which the tribes go up. And now it's not just the tribe. Isaiah says it's the city to which the nations go up. Isaiah takes Psalm 122, Isaiah 2, and expands it. We have in Psalm 122 the tribes of the Lord going up. But Isaiah 2 says, one day all the nations will say, Psalm 122, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. Us, meaning Jews and Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ with their households all over the world. And us includes Matthew. Matthew, let us go to the house of the Lord. You too belong to Jerusalem. And not just Matthew. I hope I remember the names. Leah, Elizabeth, Oliver, Jameson. I know I'm forgetting somebody.
Esmond.
Do I have anybody else? You're all belonging to Jerusalem by God's grace. And it's decreed for you to go to the house of the Lord to give thanks to the name of the Lord. You see, not only our delight and desire and joy, but it's God's decree and our duty. God calls us to go to the house of the Lord. It says there in verse 4, it was decreed for Israel. And the same is true in the new covenant. It's decreed for God's people to gather. Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, we see thirdly the importance of praying. Look at verses 6 through 9. You who love the church, pray for her. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. See that there? Verse 6. Here's the prayer. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Pray. Pray for Jerusalem. Pray for the church. Because the church isn't a finished product. One of the prayers in the Psalms is, redeem Israel from all her iniquities. Lots of sin. Another prayer is, redeem Israel from all her troubles. Lots of troubles. God's people, Jerusalem congregation, needs our prayers. There are weaknesses, there are disappointments, there are sins. And these need to be handled with care, and they need to be handled with prayer. Not by despising the church, not by forsaking the church, not by giving up on the church, not by gossiping, not by malice, but with prayer. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, think of Jesus. He sees the church, weaknesses, warts and all, much more clearly than we do. And he prays for the church day and night. He never stops interceding for the saints. Whatever temptation, trouble, weakness is ours, we take it to the Lord in prayer, and he is there. And he's praying for us before the Father. And so we also, in the name of Jesus, are called to pray for Jerusalem. Pray for three things. And pray those three things for two reasons we see here in the third point. Pray for three things. What three things? Peace, that's mentioned three times. Security, that's mentioned two times. And for her good, that's mentioned once. Pray for her peace, her security, and the good of those who love the church, who are committed to her for Christ's sake, who love her God, her ministry, her order, her people, her future. So, brothers and sisters, let's pray for those three things for our church and the church around the world. Shalom, peace. Peace. A community that's inside, free from heresies that disrupt her, free from false teachings. From outside, free from persecutions that trouble. May God make it a place of harmony and happiness and blessing, a place where brotherly love thrives. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, if only you would know what had brought you peace. And do you remember what that was? Believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Following him as your king. That's what will bring you peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for her security. That means her safety. A place where she's grounded firmly in the truth and protected in trial and temptation and able to stand firm and strong. And that when trouble comes, we stand lockstep. We lock our arms and we face it together. That's security. As one man, Paul says, contending for the faith of the gospel. An army that works together. Pray for her peace, for her security and safety, and for her good, her well-being, her happiness, her being built up. And that's our calling, brothers, to be church builders through prayer. And to pray for two reasons. The first reason is for my brothers and companions' sake, verse 8. And verse 9, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God. Pray for your brothers and companions' sake. Now we have individual people in front of us and individual nations. Love prays for your brothers and companions. Love prays for Matthew, Marianne, and Mary. Love prays for the weak and the wandering. Love prays for those in your districts. Love prays for family members, for your church leaders. Love prays for groups and nations too, the persecuted believers, the believers across Canada and in China, among First Nations. Loving Christ Church means praying for people and nations by name, close by and far away. And lastly, love prays for the sake of the house of the Lord our God. And remember, that house is Christ. Love prays for the sake of Jesus Christ, that his name be exalted by all across the world, that he would so prosper the ministry of the gospel through his church, that people everywhere be set free from Satan's snares and their lives become dedicated to God as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Love prays that Christ's word and spirit, like Christ's word and spirit, will triumph in Esmond's life, Jimmy's life, Leah's life, Elizabeth's life, Oliver's life, and Matthew's life. And he would work in them by his Spirit so that they become soldiers of Christ and soldiers of the cross and faithful members of Jerusalem. Because we want to see Christ's glory and beauty magnified in the glory and beauty of his radiant bride. May he bring that about. Amen.